You may know that I'm an amateur gardener. One of the highlights of my farming career was when someone was downsizing and gave me her esrog tree. While I never grew an actual esrog, I did get elegant flowers. But here's a surprise. According to a medrash, that tree I treasured was no innocent ingenue. Rather, it was the most infamous tree in the Torah. When we start the Torah next week, we will meet that infamous tree, Eitz Hadas Tov V'ra, the tree of knowledge that Hashem forbade to humanity. We know the story. But what kind of tree was that? What kind of fruit did it bear? No, it was not an apple. That's likely based on an ancient misreading of Shir Hashirim, or the fact that apple in Latin is pyrrhus malus, and mal also means bad. But Chazal identify four non-apple candidates for the fruit. Wheat, because children start to display intelligence when they eat grain products. Grape, because, as the Gemara says, no fruit brings crying to human beings like the grape. Figs, because right after eating from the fruit, Adam and Chava used fig leaves for clothing. And the esrog, because the text indicates that Chava actually ate the tree. It says she saw that the tree was good to eat, and she ate of the tree. And our sages teach that esrog bark is edible. I've never tried eating it, but the internet says it's rich in essential oils used to flavor food. Go figure. So my beautiful esrog tree could indeed have been the Eitz Hadas from Gan Eden, which leaves me with a question. Why do we use the fruit of this villainous tree when we hold the Arba Minim in Daven for rain? Sure, the esrog is beautiful, but does it make sense to ask Hashem to nourish the Eitz Hadas? When we look at the fruits which are candidates for the Eitz Hadas, the message of our two-track esrog becomes more clear. All four of those fruits belong on a tree which offers knowledge of both good and evil, because all four of them can lead in good and bad directions. Wheat nourishes and provides the basis for halachic seudos, such as for Shabbos and Yom Tov. It is used for almost all of the menachos we bring into Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. But it can also lead to arrogance, as represented by chametz. We eat, become full, and puff ourselves up in pride for our wealth. We use grape alcohol to sanctify important moments, a bris, pidyon haben, wedding, berkas hamazon, kiddush and havdalah, the seder. Tehillim says that wine gladdens the heart, and we need joy in our personal and religious lives. But alcohol is also terribly dangerous, as well as decadent. And Torah sources from Tanakh to Gemara to the Rambam to Poskim of our own day speak about avoiding intoxication, even on Purim. Figs represent bounty in the Torah. Hashem describes Israel as a land flowing with milk and honey, and a Gemara explains that this honey is not bee honey, it refers to sweet figs. Hosea and Shir Hashirim compare the Jews to figs for reasons related to our productivity as well as our spiritual beauty. But figs also represent materialism. In a parable told in Sefer Shoftim, the fig tree refuses to become leader of the trees because it prefers to enjoy its sweet fruit. And the esrog, the pre-Eitz Hadar, with its beauty. On one hand, beauty is hidur, a means of elevating a mitzvah, demonstrating we value it, bringing honor to Hashem. On the other hand, beauty includes temptation and can feed into an unhealthy obsession with the superficial. In identifying these four candidates, Chazal were emphasizing that this is truly an Eitz Hadas Tov Vara, a tree that holds both promise and danger. Wheat, grape, and fig can provide sustenance, joy, and bounty, but they can also lead to arrogance, decadence, and materialism. And it's true for our esrog as well, with its potential for both hidur and superficiality. To return to our Arba Minim and our prayer for rain, I think the Tov Vara duality is actually the point of using an esrog, knowing what it represents. Because when we daven for rain, we are bargaining with Hashem. Like the esrog, Hashem's gift of rain expresses a duality of promise and danger. Rain nourishes wheat, and it also nourishes thorns and weeds. Rain waters seeds, and it also hampers planting and destroys harvests. Rain regenerates our aquifers, but it also triggers mudslides and floods. When we say Tefillas Geshem on Shmini Atzeres, we proclaim that duality explicitly. We ask for the rain to be L'chaim v'lo l'maves, for life, not for death, God forbid. L'vracha v'lo l'klala, for blessing and not for a curse. L'sova v'lo l'razon, for plenty, not for hunger. So we hold up our Arba Minim before Hashem and declare, our esrog holds both promise and danger. Your rain also holds both promise and danger. We commit to use this attractive esrog for hit or mitzvah, harnessing beauty for the most positive purposes, livracha v'lo l'klala. Please do the same with your bracha of rain, sending it to us in the most positive of ways. Livracha v'lo leklala. This is a worthy tefillah and a worthy deal for us to make with Hashem. May we take the lesson of the Esrog's duality with us in the year ahead to become clear-eyed about the wealth we receive and the dangers that come with it. We should commit to use it livracha, and we should daven to Hashem for help so that the literal and metaphorical rain Hashem sends should always be livracha.